Luke chapter 2, verse 22 and following. When the time had come for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and speak to the child about all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they'd finished everything required of the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of our Lord. Well, I discussed with the young disciples this morning about getting gifts. I'm sure we all have our favorite list of what we received. Or maybe, if we have the gift of giving, our favorite gift was in giving something. Some people in our families, in our lives, though, are hard to buy for, right? Do you have any of those that seem that they have everything? Or maybe if they don't have everything, they just don't really want anything. Such a dilemma it is for those that what I usually end up doing is just getting a gift card and let them get what they want. Now, that's not the most personal gift, is it? But I went recently and picked up a gift card. And as I approached the checkout, the little lady said, "Okay, for this to work, we first have to tear it open. We have to open it so I can activate it. Because if it's not activated, they won't be able to redeem whatever value there is on the card." So that's what she did. She activated so that the recipient, once they take it, can redeem the full value of what has been given. You know, I think of that gift card in many ways, describing the gift of life, the hope of salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Our scripture today, as Simeon shared these words at the coming of Jesus into the temple, he said this. He said, "God, your redemption has now come to even the Gentiles." That means all of us, even beyond the chosen people of Israel that Jesus was a part of. Jesus came not only to console, in the words of Scripture today, His people, but to be a gift for all people. You see, when Simeon said, "Your redemption has come," I think about that little lady checking out my gift card saying that this gift can now be redeemed. To have God's redemption means that we have been redeemed. It means that we, in a way far greater than a small piece of plastic at a local neighborhood shopping market, that we have received our true value. We've been, in the words of the merchants, we've been activated. We've been redeemed through the grace and gift, not of a family member or someone sharing a Christmas or birthday gift, but the gift of a Savior has redeemed us, given us our true value, set us free, broken us apart as the clerk broke open that gift to reveal the card so it could be activated. God has set us free from our brokenness, friends. That's the gift of Christmas. So that we can have the true value of our salvation, of being children of God. As Barry read in our first reading today, that we have been adopted, we have been made part of God's family because Jesus came down from heaven. This is the gift of Christmas. And friends, if we as people of faith never receive anything else from God, then that's a hallelujah moment. Then we could ask for nothing else. If the only gift we ever had was of a Savior, that Jesus Christ came to set us free from our brokenness and redeem us and give us the gift of heaven, then thanks be to God. But you know, I'm convinced that God offers us even more than a promise to come, even more than the gift of heaven and eternal. God gives us a gift through our Savior for even the here and now of our daily existence in this world. You know, one of my other favorite gifts I got this year was a Yeti coffee mug. Lynn and Norris Howe gave me one of those fancy Yeti coffee mugs. I love those things. Do any of y'all have good coffee mugs? You know what's so cool about that thing? Is that you can put ice in it, and at the end of the day, it'll still have ice in it. Or if you put coffee in it, it'll keep the coffee hot for hours. So it keeps cold things cold and hot things hot. And the part I can't understand is, how does it know the difference? The other day, I poured a cup of coffee into that new Yeti mug, and it didn't do its job. A few minutes after I poured it, lukewarm. Couldn't hardly drink it, but it wasn't the mug's fault. You know whose fault it was? It was mine. I didn't put the lid on it. I left the house without the lid, and the coffee was no longer warm or enjoyable. I didn't use the gift in the way it was meant to be used. I shortchanged the gift, right? Now that doesn't make sense, does it? If someone gives us a gift, doesn't it make sense for us to use it in the way it was meant to be used? To use it in the full value? I'll give you another example. Not long ago, a friend of Blue Mountain College gave us a car. It was one of their used cars. It was a luxury automobile. And he said to me, "It's got so many bells and whistles," he said, "I don't even know everything it does, and I haven't tried to figure it out." And I was going to do that same thing. I was not going to try to figure it out. But then I thought, to get a gift this nice, wouldn't it be a tragedy if I didn't use it for the way it was intended? If I didn't study it and learn and get all the benefits from the gift? What's a Yeti coffee cup without the lid? you're not getting all the benefits of the gift. What's a luxury automobile without knowing and celebrating all the bells and whistles? And what's the gift of salvation, friends, without also celebrating every benefit of it, even in the here and now? See, I think in our text today, Simeon the prophet, gives us a model of celebrating life in the fullness and cherishing the gift, not only in something to come, but celebrating the life of our Lord even in the here and now. Our scripture tells us this about Simeon. You know, I'm kind of jealous of Simeon, because he had a special gift. You have those people that just seem like they're spiritual icons that you know. They're so in tune with God. It seems to be that that's the way it was for Simeon. Our scripture tells us this about him. There's three different things that Simeon was gifted by the Holy Spirit. Take a look at a later time more thoroughly. Verses 25, 26, and 27 tell us this is the relationship Simeon had with the Holy Spirit. It said that the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. Wow, that's a great gift to have, the Holy Spirit resting. And the Holy Spirit also did this. The Holy Spirit had revealed things to Simeon. He was able to see things that others couldn't. And then lastly, boy, sometimes I cherish this one most of all. In verse 27, it tells us that the Holy Spirit guided Simeon. Now, friends, wouldn't that be great? If our walk with God was so in step as it was with Simeon, that the Spirit constantly rested upon us, we had His peace at all times, that the Spirit revealed things to us, we didn't have to wrestle with tough decisions of family and life and work, because the Spirit would make it clear, reveal things to us, as He did for Simeon. And then, even as we revealed, if we were guided as if the Spirit was holding our hand and taking us on the journey. Wow, I'm jealous of Simeon. He was a great person of faith, our scripture tells us. These were the gifts that he knew. But you know, not only does the scripture tell us how the Spirit engulfed Simeon, but I think the scripture also gives us another hint of why the Spirit and Simeon were in tune. In other words, I think Simeon gives us a model today of how to cherish the fullness of our gift in life in Christ. How to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit to rest upon us, to guide us, and to reveal things to us. So how do we do it? Our scripture tells us this about Simeon. It says that Simeon was a devout and righteous man. Surely there's a connection to the fact that Simeon sought the face of God so intentionally that he had the gift of the Spirit more fervently. You know, I think of that word devout. And I saw an example of that this week. Luke and I went bowling several days ago, and we went to Plaza Lanes there. Is it Plaza or Plaza? I guess if you're from Faulkner, it's Plaza. If you're from Ripley, it's Plaza. Plaza Lanes in Corinth. And this little gentleman came shuffling in there. He was in his 90s. And he was going bowling. First time I'd ever seen him. But not the first time he'd been to the bowling alley. In fact, he goes about every day. Around 1 o'clock. He shuffles in there in his 90s, and he doesn't get way back, you know, and get a running go. No, he kind of creeps up to the line, toes that line, much like someone's going to shoot a foul shot, coach. gets right on the edge of the line, then he bends down just a little bit and he throws that ball, and you think it's never going to get there, and then every pin falls. I didn't want to play. He would have whooped me up one side and down the other. He didn't get that way overnight. And I think there's probably days he doesn't want to get up and go. But when he gets there, there was a joy in his eyes and an energy in his step that he wouldn't have had he not made the journey. See, what I'm telling you is he showed me a lesson of getting better in bowling because he was devout in his preparation. He was devoted to the game, to the journey. When we devote ourselves to something, we strengthen our muscles. We grow in enjoyment, and we grow in the knowledge of that we invest ourselves into. You see, I think that's the model Simeon is giving us when Scripture says he was devoted to God more than a bowling game. He sought God in the words of Scripture with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew Henry says it this way, the ancient commentary that's still relevant even in our lives today. Henry says this, when the Scripture tells us that Simeon was devout and righteous, he said, when we think of Simeon being devout, that speaks of his relationship to God. He was fully committed to God. And we think of Simeon being righteous, he was fully committed to his neighbor, loving those around him. The golden rule. Matthew Henry was summarizing what Jesus would say before him. That the greatest call of faith, the greatest commandment is to be devout, to love God. And the second is like it, to be righteous in loving our neighbor. Isn't it beautiful that also symbolizes our cross, the relationship up and down with our God, the relationship horizontally with those around us. Could it be that Simeon had the wisdom to know that to grow in the Spirit, it really amounts to growing in love for God and the world around us. You see, friends, I think that's the gift for us. As those who've received life in Christ, who've been bought and redeemed by a Savior who is now in heaven, that He also yearns for us to have the most joy-filled, the happiest marriage, the greatest work relationships, the most security even in the here and now. And that begins and ends in the model of Simeon and also of his friend Anna. Did you notice in our Scripture today that Simeon and Anna both shared a couple of qualities? They both were people of praise. In other words, they were people of worship, doing what we're doing right now. And they were also people of prayer. As we end 2017, and we set out at midnight to embark upon 2018. This is a time where many of us make new resolutions. To start the year off right. To resolve to do something. Or to not do something that we were doing. What if we, as a church, or if we as individuals, or as a family, embrace the model of Simeon and Anna? You know, they must have been pretty special people because they were the ones to greet our Savior in the temple. but embrace the model they've given us for a more spirit-filled and joy-filled life. Be more fervent. Resolve in 2018 to worship more passionately, to pray without ceasing, and grow daily in the Spirit of God, guiding us, revealing to us, and resting upon us as His children. That, my friend, is a resolution worth making. Amen.